All right, great. Okay, we're going to have fun today. Maybe church is not normally fun for you, but today is going to be fun, I hope, because we're going to do some different, not just because I'm the one talking, but also because we're going to do some stuff together at the end by way of praying for each other and practicing how to hear God for each other, okay? So I'm going to share a little bit of a reflection on a story where Jesus does this for somebody who was at the time outside of the fold of Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and see how that can apply to us reaching out to our neighbors outside the walls of this building. Okay, so it'll be like I'll share for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll do this activity together. So you can get ready or nervous about that. So anyway, the morning, the passage for today is from John 4, if you want to turn there. John chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 4. John chapter 4, verse 4. And actually, you know what? Before we read this passage, I think today, you know, it's one of those things where on a summer Sunday, maybe some of us get here and kind of think, oh, let's just go to church and then we'll go to do the fun stuff later. And I have to admit that sometimes I feel like that too. But today was a really cool morning where I think God surprised us, and his presence was really here in a strong way. And I just thought it would be helpful for some of us to explain, you know, when Paul or Sherry are sharing kind of their senses of what God is doing, and you know, Sherry is singing songs that are not directly words from the screen, maybe it's a little confusing as what's going on in that moment. So sometimes as a worship leader, you know, you're always trying to think, Lord, what are you trying to say to us specifically this morning? And so that goes into the preparation for the songs, picking the songs. But there are moments when you just catch a sense that the Spirit wants to underline something for the morning. And so I think that's what Paul and Sherry were doing. And when she's singing over us, you could say, just enjoy it. You can close your eyes or you can open your hands. You can take it as, okay, this is what God wants to say to our community this morning. So even if you don't know what she's singing or you can't participate in it because you don't know the words, it's these moments where God, like he's inhabiting our praises and then he sings back to us, as it were, if that makes sense. So just wanted to leave that with you as an explanation of sometimes what happens in worship, you know, and you don't have to check out or disengage in those moments. It's just a different way of breathing, so to speak, where God is speaking and singing to us as people as we have sung to him. So thank you guys for leading us in that this morning. That was great. So with that in mind, John chapter 4, verse 4. So this is Jesus here, the he. Now he, Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And then skipping down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. It's a pretty cool passage, isn't it? So the first thing that Jesus says to this woman is a question. And the question is, "Can you give me a drink?" And it opens up this whole discussion with this woman. And the reason why it was a bit of an unusual moment for them to have a discussion is because, as this passage says, she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. Now, to put that in modern day, sadly, in some parts of our city, it would be like some people saying, "They're from the North End, we're from fill in the blank." In other words, we will not go there or associate with those people. We will make every possible effort to make a detour around that neighborhood because we believe it's unclean in some way. That was how the Jews felt about the Samaritans. So the fact that Jesus initiates this conversation with this kind of person from this kind of neighborhood is surprising. Second, the fact that he is a man and that she is a woman is surprising. But he does that. But the passage that the moment that I really want to focus on today is this moment where he has revelation about her life. And he says to her during one point in the conversation, "Go and call your husband." And so she says, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "Actually," what exactly does he say there? Yeah. She has had five husbands. Had five husbands, and the person that you're with now is not your husband. How did he know that? I mean, of course he was God, but he was also fully man. It was through the revelation of the Spirit that Jesus had insight into this woman's life, and rather than her feeling condemned or judged, it completely unpacks her heart and her deepest questions. And all of a sudden she's saying, "I can see that you're a prophet." So as somebody who has some kind of pipeline to God, as somebody who knows the words of God, tell me, where do I worship? Who do I worship? So what I wanted to focus on today is this profound moment where the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of the Spirit, opens somebody's heart so that the deepest questions of their life can be answered. Now, when I was I used to be a high school teacher, and it was actually at a Christian school, and on the last week of the school, I said to one of my classes, "You know, if you guys want me to pray for you before you head off to wherever you're heading off to after you graduate, I would be honored to do that. So just come to my office whenever and pray for me. I'll pray for you." So this one student named Keith, he came into the office, and this was about the last week of the year. And he said, "You know, I don't want to tell you what I want prayer for. Just pray for me." And I could kind of tell that he's sort of testing, like, "Oh, you know, is this God stuff real? You've talked about prophecy and all this kind of stuff. Let's see if this God is real." So in the same moment, I'm a little nervous, you know, because I don't want him to not believe in God if I say something dumb or incorrect. And on the other hand, I'm so thrilled because I think this guy is prime for God to crash in on his life. And he's not even telling me what he wants prayer for. So if God highlights something, he will know it's God. So I put my hand on him and I say, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? And what I feel God saying to me, and it is usually a feeling, I felt the words, tell him he's not been a bad brother. Now, in Hong Kong, there's lots of families that have only children, okay, with no siblings. So I didn't even know if he had any siblings. So if I was going to say, like, this is an appointed moment. If I tell him, you've not been a bad brother, and he says, I'm an only child, it's going to look bad. But it's the only thing I heard, and I thought, well, if I'm wrong, I can handle that. But if I'm right, you know, he'll see God. So I said, I don't know if this is right, but what I'm hearing is you have not been a bad brother. And instantly, as if somebody turned a tap in his tear ducts, they just poured out of his eyes. He just lost it. And this guy was like the star of our basketball team, our high school basketball team. You know, a strong, sporty guy. And here he is sobbing in my office. And I'm thinking, I've either blown it so badly that this guy is suffering traumatic stress disorder in front of me, or something's happening, you know? So I kind of let him sob it through a little bit. And then I said, what's going on? And he said, as I graduate, my biggest fear is that I have been a bad example to my younger brother. And this is the one thing that I am most afraid of as I graduate from this school. In that moment, he knew that Jesus was real. In that moment, he knew that Jesus was real. In this moment in the story, this woman, her life is unpacked in such a way that she goes, you are a prophet. Now, it's one thing to do that in church. You know, we believe here in the Vineyard in the gift of prophecy. We love praying for each other and practicing hearing what God is sharing. In one way, that's very easy, you know? But how about when we're outside the walls of this building, in the Samarias of our world, with the Samaritans of our world? You know, there was one time, I mean, although this was in the building, there was a lady who came here to drop in. And she was kind of a little bit of a loose cannon, very hard to have a conversation with. And so I'm trying to have a conversation with, and I'm asking God, what do I say to this person? And so I felt like he said, ask her about the person Sarah. Oh, I hate it when this happens because I could be so wrong. And I have been wrong before. That's part of the journey. But again, I said to her, what's this name Sarah mean to you? And she stopped in her tracks. And again, she told me that this lady Sarah had done something to her when she was a teenager or a young person that had wrecked her whole life. And she hadn't told hardly anybody about it. And so all of a sudden she says, how do you know this? And I said, I didn't know this. God knows it. And I think he wanted to show you that he cares for you. And he knows the deepest parts of your pain and the hardest things that you've gone through. He knows, even if nobody else knows. You know, when that happens, and I don't know if it's happened to you, but when that happens, a person's heart is opened towards God. And so, you know, we sing today, we were singing, and Paul and Sherry were talking about how much God loves us. It's so innumerable, right? But that love doesn't just apply to us who believe. It's also meant to spill out like a raging river into the streets of our city, into the lives of those who don't yet know this love. And one of the ways it happens is through this kind of moment where God, through his Spirit, brings revelation. I know you. I know you. So what we're going to do this morning, that's my reflection. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to practice doing this here in our church, because it's a safe place, so that we can then try, as we're going on our journey, just like Jesus was going on his journey, You might find some people in the summer, you know, as you're lounging around by the lake, or as you're visiting family, or as you're walking here and there. You might meet somebody and strike up a conversation. And what if God could put his finger on their life and open their heart up, and they could say, God is real. This Jesus must be real. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if after the end of the summer we all had one story to share of trying to pray for someone like this, and them having this moment of thinking, oh my gosh, maybe he's real. How does that sound to you guys? Would you guys be interested in trying that? Okay. Well, where's Ken and Benita? All right, you guys want to come up here? So Lord, we thank you so much for your ability to see into our lives. And we thank you that this is not ever meant to be only just expressed in the walls of our church, that there are people outside who desperately need to know that you care for them, that you love them, and that you're concerned for them. And so we ask now, Lord, as we practice this here inside, we ask that your Spirit would be here, that you'd pour out gifts of prophecy and revelation and knowledge on all of us, so that as we go in your name, we would take this with us to our world, Lord. I also ask in the name of Jesus that a spirit of peace would be upon us, that this would be a learning environment, that nobody would feel put on the spot or pressured or stressed, but that it would be a safe place to play, Lord. In the name of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to have somebody come up here, and I'll talk through how to pray for somebody and just kind of do what I shared some of the stories about. And then we're going to split into groups of four or five, and then we're just going to practice, okay? And keep in mind that we're all learning, and this is the best way to do it, is just to kind of stumble forward and take some risks, okay? We'll try to make it as safe and as hospitable as possible. And we'll demonstrate it so that you can see how to do it, okay? So, Alex, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you like to come and receive some prayer? Okay. So, Alex, the reason I'm asking you is I didn't plan to ask anybody by name, but as we were in worship, Alex was standing behind me, and I just felt like God said, ask her if she could, she'd be willing to do it. So you can have a seat, Alex. Okay. How about on this stool here? Okay, can we give Alex a hand just for being brave to do this? This is awesome. You're so loved, Alex. We're not going to embarrass you or anything, okay? And nobody's going to put you, you know, in any kind of embarrassing situation. We just want to bless you and encourage you. Okay? So one thing you can do when you're with your friends, as you meet them out and about, is it might not always look exactly like this, but you can take what you find helpful and try to translate it to your own situation, okay? So what we like to do typically is, hey, sounds like you're going through a hard time. Would it be okay if I pray for you? Even if they don't necessarily believe, it's not a problem. You'd be surprised how many people are willing to receive prayer who don't believe in God. It's kind of a cool thing. So you can ask them, and then it's always nice to ask them if you can put your hand on their shoulder. We believe in the laying on of hands here. It's a wonderful, mysterious, supernatural, and natural thing, whereby somebody might just feel comforted, like you care for them because your hand's on their shoulder. But oftentimes the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit flows through the laying on of hands. I don't know why, but I love it. So we do it. So these guys are just going to put their hands on Alex, if that's okay with you. And Alex, you can feel free to just, if you want to close your eyes or if you want to keep them open, whatever's comfortable for you. So after you do that, you can just say, invite the Holy Spirit. And it's not because he's not already there. It's just as a way to say, oh God, we need you and we want to ask you to bless this person right here, right now. And so why don't you guys also pray for that for Alex? We as a church want to bless her this morning. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to fill Alex and to touch her in this moment. We thank you that's your desire to encourage and strengthen and comfort her. And so we ask that your Spirit would do that now. After you've done that, you guys can keep your eyes open too and just, you know, try to learn what's going on here. Ask them if you can lay hands on them, invite the Spirit, and then wait. Sometimes we often think of prayer as a laundry list. Okay, we just launch into prayer right away. But there's a real, real cool thing about waiting on God and asking Him, what do you want to say? One word from God is better than 10,000 words from us. So we're looking for, what are you wanting to say? And if you pray in tongues, sometimes this is a helpful moment to pray quietly in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, it's a helpful moment to just dial in and try to listen to what God might be wanting to say. And then whenever you have a sense of something, you can share it. You don't have to say, the Lord has told me that. You could say, I feel that, or I think that, just to make sure that the person is the one who gets to decide if it's God, not you, right? So we say it in a humble, inviting way to allow much room and freedom for the person to discern, that's not really helpful for me, or that is helpful. So that's what Ken and Benita are doing. You have something?
So for me personally, the way God speaks to me is just through thoughts and words. And sometimes I think I'm right, and sometimes I have no idea. But the only way is just to say it. And for me personally, like, I can be wrong, and I'm totally fine with being wrong. And so when I saw your address, the word that popped in my head was royalty. And then that just spoke to me just about position and just how God sees you, and not just where how you see yourself, but just how he sees you as a daughter. Does that fit? Maybe. Okay. Do you mind if I just pray into that? Okay. God, I just thank you that she's your daughter, God, and that she is royalty, God. God, the way you see her, God, the position that you've given her, God, that you hold her high. God, you hold her high. High esteem is the word that I'm getting, high esteem. Yeah, he holds you up high. And so, God, I pray that you would just give her a revelation of that, of how you see her, God, and how she's seen herself in the past. God, if it's in a negative way, God, I pray that you would just wash that away. And as she looks in the mirror, God, that she would not see her own reflection, God, but she would see how you see her in the mirror.
God often speaks to me through pictures. And as I was standing here, Alex, I saw a picture of you coming towards a waterfall. And you were sort of had mud on you and everything else, and it was in your hair. And as you're walking towards this waterfall, you're passing through it as like a thin waterfall that was coming down. And you, as you pass through it, it's as though the Lord reached in with a comb and just took out some of the mud and the dirt that was there. And he just cleaned you right off. And as you came through, you came into a lot of light. And the Lord was in the light. And you had a difference about you from before you walked in to after. And when you came out, you just had this awareness and revelation of how God sees you and who you are. And it's very interesting you said about this royalty. I saw that you had, instead of the mud that was caked on your head, you had a crown on your head. And there was understanding of who you were in God. So I just want to pray into that. God, I thank you for Alex, and Lord, for all the workings and all the words that you've spoken into her. You see her as something beautiful and something different. You see her as a new creation as you draw her closer into your presence. God, I ask that you would cleanse her of anything that would hold her back, anything that would keep her from seeing how she really is in your eyes. God, and that you have a purpose for her. There's a revelation that you are going to receive, I think, Alex, regarding who you are. And it's going to suddenly make sense to you. It's as though you pass through this waterfall and there's a new beginning. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bless Alex in this journey. She would move forward into this new reality of who you are and who she is in you, a daughter of the Most High. Does that sort of make sense or no? Does it fit her?
I think so. I think so a bit, yeah.
All right.
I also had a picture for you, Alex. I felt like I saw a golden key, and it was like it was kind of like an enchanted kingdom, and this key was a key to some sort of door, and I felt like it was related to future stuff, that you don't have to worry that there's a mystery about the future, but that like God will give you a golden key. It'll be really obvious which door to open. So, yeah, bless you. Did you want to share anything in response to any of that? No pressure at all, of course.
Many of you, as in probably none of you, know I work in the North End. I live upstairs at Flatlanders, and I work out of a little white church up on Manitoba Avenue, right across from William White. And I work with a program called Workforce. It's associated with YFC. I work with teenagers 12 to 15, and we give them work placements. So we get to send them to work. They get paid minimum wage. It's an awesome experience. And we're halfway through our summer, and our supervisor, she sits down with everybody and checks in and sees how they're doing and, like, what's going good, what's not going good. And she's like, she sits there and she's like, we're sitting there and we're talking. She's like, oh, why don't you feel good about this? And I'm like, because I'm a details person. And she's like, so because the details aren't perfect, you're not okay? I'm like, well, no, I'm doing good, but I'm a perfectionist and I need everything to be in place. And she's like, you know, that's not good. And I'm like,
what do you mean
it's not good? Yes. She's like, I'm like, what do you mean it's not good? I'm like, of course it's okay to be organized and want things to go, like, as planned and to, like, make sure all the things are in place. She's like, yeah, but if it's putting pressure on you and if it's making you unhappy, then that's probably not good. She's like, you think, she's like, you know, a lot of people think it's a cop-out to say you're a perfectionist when people ask you for your weaknesses, but it's like, it really has been my biggest one. And she says, well, God doesn't want that for you. And so it's like, okay. And, you know, then she says, have you considered seeing a counselor about this? And I said, funny. I couldn't even say anything. Actually, I cried, and she just looked at me, and she's like, what? And I'm like, well, 3 years ago I went to a counselor, and we had planned a whole really long series, you know, something I didn't really want to do but knew I had to. After two sessions, she disappeared. I never wanted to see a counselor again after that, and I probably still don't want to. But, you know, that's my mud right now. So, there you go.
Thank you, Alex, for sharing. I think some of you also had some senses of stuff, so you can find her at the end of the service and share it and see. Just leave it with her to see what's helpful and strengthening. Okay, let's give her a hand. That was brave. Thank you, Alex.
Something that I, like, knowing who God is and his character, when we asked her to come up, and I think I sensed just a bit of hesitation. God is gentle. He is kind. He is loving. He's going to be gentle and loving. And when we give prophetic words, God isn't a God who is going to leave you high and dry and show your ugliest of uglies and where you're going to feel really vulnerable, and that's not God. And so, yeah, just want to put that out there.
I just want to share this too. Sometimes when we get words, it has to ring true right now, but that's actually not. I'll tell you the reason why I'm saying this. Bonita gave me a word over a year ago, maybe two, about red shoes. Do you remember that one? Anyway, I just had a revelation of it just now.
Are you serious?
Seriously, yeah.
I always wondered about it. I don't necessarily ask.
I'm just going to catch up now.
Sorry.
I'll talk to you later. But anyway, just to say that here we are in this service today, and as soon as Bonita came up here, I went, that's what that means. Like, it just resonated with my soul. I know exactly what it means, and it just is amazing how God works. And that was got to be, I'm guessing, 18 months ago, 2 years ago. So,
yeah, quite like when the angel announced to Jesus or to Mary that, you know, you're going to have a son and whatnot. The phrase there, she pondered these things in her heart. She just pondered them. She kept them in her heart. So thanks, you guys. Okay, now's the fun part. We're going to split into groups of four or five. We won't have an official end to the service, so this will just kind of be the end. So Ken and Bonita and Jack Parker and Gloria, if you guys want to stand. So these are just going to be the group facilitators. Maybe Sherry and Paul, you guys could stand too. Yeah? So try to go to one of these people who are standing and get in a group. You can sit in a circle and then decide as a group one of you who would like to receive some encouragement, some prayer, and then the other two or three of you can just try practicing what we did, okay? Ask them if you can lay hands on them, invite the Spirit, wait, and then share with some humility what you feel. And remember that the main thing of this morning, although prophecy is a wonderful gift for us in the body of Christ, think about how you can do this with your friends who don't know Christ, you know, even like I said, as you're talking with them, Lord, is there anything that you want me to say, anything that you want me to ask them, anything that you want me to mention in this conversation? Or, Lord, maybe show me if there's an opportunity where I can pray for them. You know, if they tell you that they're sick, or if they tell you that they're worried about some family or work or school-related thing, ask them if you can pray for them, even if they don't believe. The worst that they can say is no. Big deal. Okay, so why don't you stand up and go to one of these people and try to keep it in groups of four or at most five, and then